Thank the Lord this morning for salvation, for His tender mercies and loving kindness. And again, we just want to thank the Lord for the name of Jesus. And as we were singing that song, the little thought came to me, what if there would be no Jesus? Wouldn't we be in distress? What if the Lord had died and not risen? Wouldn't we be in a fix? And where would we go? Who would we tell our troubles to that could help us? And what kind of distress maybe would we stay in? But Paul wrote, but now is Christ risen. Praise the Lord. Precious name, alive. He said, I was alive, then I was dead, but now I am alive forevermore. Praise the Lord. Folks, we're not alone in this old world. Praise God, we have the Son of God, the Holy Ghost, and we have life from above. And grave, the grave is not the end. Praise the Lord for that. Well, may the Lord help us this morning as we look into the Word of God. I've been thinking over the last maybe 2 weeks or so about the word respect. And my burden is, Paul wrote that we might know how to conduct ourselves in the church or the house of God. I would say this as a beginning statement. This is not directed to any of us, but to all of us. And it's not to imply that we are deficient on anything, but that we just might rehearse some of the Word of God. That we not be behind on anything. And sometimes a message, it's just a message, but sometimes a message can be taken as it's coming as correction. No, this is just something the Word of the Lord has told us. And let's consider it a little bit today. And we won't touch on everything by any means. Just some things to think about. The word respect can mean different things. The word respect means to regard. To have regard to the design or the purpose of something. So, respect for purpose. Respect for the reason for something. Respect can mean to view or to consider with some degree of reverence. To esteem as possessed of real worth. So when we're thinking this morning about our conduct within the confines of the body of Christ, but in particular as we assemble ourselves from time to time, it is to view or to respect that is to review or to view rather with a degree of reverence and to esteem the value of something. Lord, help us as we journey in our Christian race to value the coming together with other believers and the sharing, the sharpening, the admonition, and the blessings that come. It's of real worth. It's of real value. It means to regard or give attention to. Sometimes in life, I'll give you for instance. And what can happen to us. You know, and I've said this before, I love birds. And I think they are some of the most beautiful creatures that the Lord has made. A few years ago, we had a painted bunny. I won't try to describe it except to say it's multicolored and beautiful. It's not entirely rare, but you don't see a lot of them. Well, this bird came to our house, maybe one, two at the most, and I really got excited. I had my binoculars and camera. Well, you know, the next year, those painted bunnies came back. So this is at least now the third year, and there's at least three males and three or four females there now. And did you know I see them, and, oh, I see the bunnies are here. But that's kind of the extent of it now. I don't get my camera out, take dozens of pictures. Sometimes there's something about regarding something, giving respect to something, and giving attention to something. After we've done it a little while, we kind of slack off. Right now, I've got a peacock in my backyard. Now, he's not mine, but he's there, and he's pretty exciting. But you know, if that peacock stays around a while, he'll just be a bird out there in my backyard to some degree. The word respect, that deportment of course of action which proceeds from. In other words, the actions and the deportment that comes out of esteeming something, out of giving something its due attention. So as we respect something and we recognize its blessing, its worth, it should produce in you and me, and I believe it does, a deportment or a course of action or a conduct which is based on our esteem for that which we respect or our regard to that which we respect. Lastly, the word can mean consideration. Respect is a very important word in our language, and without it, mankind suffers. Without it, you and me suffer. Without respect, people find themselves without any true values, a course, or hope. Over in Psalms 119:9, it gives us an idea of how important respecting God, respecting the holy things are. And let this kind of sink in, not so much in this one text of what it says, but the meaning of it, the importance that respect plays in our life. 119 of Psalms, the 9th verse. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? The answer is by taking heed or showing respect thereto according to thy word. Showing respect according to the word of God is the means by which man cleanses himself from sin. Now, we know it's the blood. We know that, and I'm not saying that in any way. It's not that. But if we do not have respect for God, respect for the blood, respect for eternal life, respect for the judgment of God, how will a man ever find within him the means by which to produce a change and cleanse himself from the defilement? So respect to God, respect for the word of God, respect for the cause and the purpose and the plan of God is paramount. When people lose respect, you find anarchy. When you find people who have trouble with rules and following a set procedure, you'll find confusion. And you'll find things don't go as well. Without respect, we're going to get our life and eventually our soul in trouble. So respect is paramount in life. Without it, we'll fail. You know, without respect, you won't pay attention. And I don't mean just to what I'm saying by any means. But we have to give our attention to something. And if we're really going to give, it may be respect out of fear. Or it may be respect out of reverence. But we give it our attention. And without a respect for something, we're going to fail to offer the thing that we must offer, and that's respect. And then if we don't offer our respect, then the benefits, the potential help that comes out of paying attention or listening to won't be there. People sometimes have trouble paying attention in life. It could be in any avenue. And those people, that person, me or you, when we fail to respect something, we are, to some degree, separating ourselves from the potential help that's in it. So if I, or you, if we, do not have respect to God, to His purpose, to His cause, to His calling. We set ourselves apart from the help and the benefits that God can be for us. Respect. It's essential. It's essential in safety in life. It's essential. If we fail to have respect for God, then we fail to make the necessary corrections many times. Because the Lord comes as correction. He comes as a light. He comes as direction. And I've got to respect that. I've got to respect the means by which God communicates with man or with you or me. Respect of the Word, the Bible. Respect of the Holy Ghost. Respect of the inspiration God gives others. We need to respect what God is doing any way He's doing it. And that way then we put ourselves in a position to receive the help, the blessings, the guidance, the correction that God wants to give us. Just some little thoughts that you already know about respect. Without respect, we distract from the purpose. You know that? In a group of people, if there's a disrespectful person in any way, in their voice, in their conduct, in their attitudes, whatever, their dress, did you know it has the potential of distracting from the purpose of why people come together? If people went to a PTA meeting to discuss school issues and someone got up with a clarinet and started blowing that clarinet, you know, he might be ever so good at blowing a clarinet. And he might have the tune just right. But they're not showing the proper respect for the reason people are there. And that's to discuss the school. And they're going to be a distraction. And you might say to that person, you know, you really got the tune right, but you're out of order. You're distracted. When we fail to have respect, we run the real risk of being a distraction. Or being distracted ourselves. Our disrespect, in other words, can cause us to be somewhere else when the purpose is set before us to do a certain thing. Another little thought that came to me about respect, it affects other people's perceptions. And we've heard the statement, perception is reality. We need to be very careful in showing respect. Because one thing about it, if you and I appear to be disrespectful, then we are being perceived in someone's eyes that way, and that disrespect, even though it may not be there, is a reality to them. So it affects other people. With that said, may I say disrespect is contagious. You know, you got an unruly student in school, the teacher knows they better get control of that student. Because that little Johnny or little Susie can affect the outcome of the whole class. If that student is not, I'm just talking about schools in general this morning. If that student has not learned respect or does not show respect, that can become a contagious thing. And he'll get a laugh or she'll get a laugh, and after a while, the next little child will try that. Well, he or she got away with it, why can't I? So respect is a very necessary thing in our life. It's necessary. I don't know how to say it more importantly than that. And the respect for the holy things is paramount. When someone is disrespected, not so much with objects, but with people, when a person is disrespected, did you know there's a good possibility that that person that's not respected will begin to withdraw and pull away and not come around as often? I'm thinking about the Lord. I'm thinking about His Word. I'm thinking about His Holy Ghost now. I'm thinking about you and me as we enter into a worship service. How important it is that we come, and I'll have to go back a minute. This is a very general thought here I'm having. This is not directed at you personally or Guthrie personally. But it's very important that we have respect for the knowledge that the Lord has agreed to meet with us here in this place, because the purpose is to worship Him. The purpose is to sit at His feet and learn collectively from Him. I know we can do many of these things in our home and in our closets, but we meet at a regular time on a regular basis with the express hope and promise that God will meet us here in this place. So respect for that purpose. Respect for His presence. Respect out of the fact of a busy day and a busy month and a busy week, we have an opportunity to come together and worship the Lord publicly, to hear the Word preached, taught, to exhort one another, to speak to one another, to edification, to share our burdens and our woes and our happinesses, a time we can come and encourage one another, be blessed by one another, drink from one another's well that's overflowing out of their life. Lord, help us today to be highly respectful of this wonderful opportunity God gives us. Did you know there are people? I don't know any really. But there are places in the world, those who travel know. They'd be so thankful if they could get to two or three together. They'd be so thankful if they had a hut to come together under. They would be so thankful. Lord, help us to respect this wonderful, wonderful thing God has given us. In Psalms 33, and the 8th verse, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the earth, let all inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Sister Connie, a while back, brought us a lesson, and I got out of that lesson. She was in letting us know, and I think we agreed, those that were here, that Satan would like for us to forget God. Forget about it. And she wrote some on the board, and she showed some ways that subtly and not so subtly, Satan and the world's economy is trying to displace God. There must be in you and me a great reverence and fear and awe of God. And not necessarily in that order. To be, hold Him in awe and the highest of regard and the deepest of respect. If you and me, and this is what I believe she was saying in part, and I agree with this, that if God is any way discounted in our thinking, if He's Lord in our estimation, it's going to affect our reverence and respect of Him. The Bible said that the world should stand in awe of Him. And that is so true. It is so necessary. Because if I do not do that, I can find myself in a place where I pick and choose what I'm going to believe and what I'm going to accept. If I do not stand in utter awe of God, total reverence of Him, then I can come to a place where I don't have to have respect, or I don't have respect for that verse in the Bible or for that teaching in the Bible. I can find a way then to find other teachers and other thinking, respect, and awe of God. I don't know how to say it completely. It's so necessary for us, and I want to encourage us today. I'm glad that I can say these words here because they're rather comfortable to say. I find that the saints here at Guthrie that I worship with are respectful saints. I don't mean this in any way. But the saint, the devil would like to undermine that respect we have for God and cause it to be devalued in our estimation. And one of the definitions is, of respect is, the deportment or the conduct based of action based on our esteem or our regard for something. So if you or me begin to esteem God less, then in those areas, our conduct is going to show it. Our words are going to show it. And our actions are going to show it. Over in Psalms 19. 19 and 9. The fear of the Lord is clean. That's the truth. God spoke through Jeremiah. He said, I know my thoughts towards you, and they're thoughts of peace. May I say, indeed, the respect for God is healthy. Holding God in awe and reverence is a healthy estate for my soul and yours. He said, it's clean, the fear of the Lord, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much fine gold, sweeter than also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, is by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them, there is a great reward. I want to borrow from that and say this. That in having a great respect for God and His purpose is a great reward in that. And again, the lack of respect, you and I will forfeit the benefits of coming together. You and I will, if I come in my own mindset, if I come in an unteachable mindset, you know how much I'm going to learn? I'll speak for myself. Probably zero. If I come with my mind and my heart and my self crossed like this, if I come with a lack of respect for the purpose and the spirit of God's liberty and freedom in each one, chances are I'm going to go away feeling deprived, disappointed, and not getting what I went there for, when maybe I didn't go there for the right purpose. I didn't go there with respect to the Lord, respect to the purpose, for the calling, and for the reason. When we think of Jesus, we truly believe He's our example. The Lord promised freedom. But he didn't promise freedom from responsibility. We are responsible for our lives, and we each one will give an account of our lives. We may use the scripture that free indeed. Well, that's true. We're free from sin, and we can worship the Lord in spirit and truth, etc. But He didn't free us from responsibility. Because right along with all the joy of freedom, He turned around at the end of Matthew and He said, go. That's responsibility. He said, let your light shine. That's responsibility. He taught us to obey Him. That's responsibility. It's not a free-for-all then, but is it a deliberate life based on respect for Jesus Christ and God the Father? So we find Christ being our example in everything, especially everything pertaining to God and to man. Jesus had great regard for the temple of God, the actual building. We might touch on that a little later. But don't count Christ's high respect and regard for the temple as something that pertained under the law and didn't carry over. Jesus had great respect for the Word of God. He was there on his Sundays or Saturdays. And he would say to the devil and to others, it is written. And he quoted the word. David said he hid the word in his heart. God, Jesus Christ, had a tremendous regard to the will of God. Now, as he is, so are we in this world. What does that say about us and our responsibility? If Jesus came being the example in every good work and in every good thing, all his ways he pleased the Father. The Father said, this is my beloved Son and mine, well pleased. If in everything Christ pleased the Father, I believe he had a holy, divine respect for the Father and for the cause of the Father. And you and I now are lights in this world. Jesus Christ had a tremendous respect for man and our soul and our bodies and our mind and our sorrows and our happiness. The Lord was well acquainted with grief so he could be a faithful high priest for me and you. The Lord had respect to the feelings when Mary and Martha there were and others at Lazarus' tomb was weeping. Jesus, I believe, knew ahead of time what he was going to do. Why should he weep? Because he knew Lazarus was going to come right out of there. But he wept. I believe he empathized and felt what they felt. He respected their sorrow. And he couldn't help but enter into it. Respect. Jesus had a tremendous respect for the cause of God. And this respect that the Lord had took precedence in his life. It took precedence in his life over his physical desire. Now, it doesn't speak a lot about the physical desire of the Lord. We know he was hungry. And we know he continued on thirsty too, 40 days and nights. There was a respect for his mission and his cause that superseded his hunger or his thirst. Lord, help us today to find such a respect and awe for God that it sets a precedent of action, of deportment, of conduct in our life. That you and me so reverence God that it's not just a legal standing. There's laws, there's rules, there's obligations, but more than that, there would be that deep burning hunger in our heart out of respect for God to keep that that's been committed to us. That we would also let it set a precedence in our life. There was times that he was tired and he went away to the mount. And even then the people followed him. There was a respect for the reason and the cause he came into this world to save the souls that were lost. That was all of us. And he cried out to the Father, if it's possible, deliver me from this thing. And he knew beforehand, he knew afterwards he said this. Don't you know if I ask for, I would receive 12 legions of angels? He had that authority to call for deliverance based on that statement. And he asked the Lord, is it possible? But did you know he went ahead and went to the cross? And part of it was out of respect for why he was there and the knowledge of what would be gained in his obedience and what would be lost in his disobedience. Over in Habakkuk, there's a scripture I think is important here. Habakkuk is one of those books I have to really look for, because I don't read it that often. It's toward the end of the Old Testament. Habakkuk, if I'm pronouncing it right, 2:20. 2:20 of Habakkuk. The Lord is in his holy temple, that all the earth keep silence before him. Let all the world, let all the earth, and let all that are assembled together for the purpose of worship have a holy silence and awe and respect. Attentive. Focused. Respectful. Believing. Submitted. Some of the reasons we come to the Lord. And He said, let all the earth keep silent. Paul wrote, let everything be done decently and in order. I believe in the way we conduct our services as far as the, in regard to the lack of man rule, etc. Liberty to call songs. The liberty to testify, to pray. I wouldn't change that one bit. But you know, we need to have a great respect in that respect. We need to be very respectful of the point of why we're here. And that's to worship God. It is not to vent my frustrations or my cause. It's here to worship the Lord. It is not to promote something of myself or of the flesh. We're here to worship the Lord. We're here to do business with God. Would to God that He would liberate every one of us to totally worship Him in spirit and truth. I hope none of us are binding the other because, and I don't believe we are in that sense, some are quiet people, some are not so quiet people. Let the Lord lead in those. That's fine. But He said, let all the earth, let all the world be silent. Let everything be directed by His Spirit. Let everything be under the unction of the Holy Ghost. This is not a time to correct one another in a carnal way. It's time to worship the Lord. Speak to edification? Sure. Speak to the admonishing through testimonies? Yes. But this is not a way and a place to promote myself or yourself. This is a time we come together to humble ourselves in obedience and reverence. Speak to us, Lord, whomever, however. I get tremendous amount of blessings out of the song service. They just thoroughly bless me. Let the Lord speak to us and come silently. Now, that doesn't mean we're supposed to sit in the corner and not say anything. That means I am crucified with Christ. And that which comes forth, I don't think God wants us to praise God on command. This movement that pulled away from us 10+ years ago, I watched them. And it's almost like they're praising and shouting and getting up and it's on cue. Not what we're here for. I can't give you praise. And I can't orchestrate praise. Praise is an outflowing of the heart. And it only comes from God. And we've got the liberty to express it. We have the liberty. But it's not for us to orchestrate that. And I don't believe we do. But I just give this out as a caution. Let's have respect to the Holy Ghost leadership, and not what I think or what I want to see different. We can become a little carnal if we're not careful. We think about this not being the temple of God, and I agree with that. The Bible speaks about us being the temple. Clearly, that's true. Yet, this building. And some people say, well, we can't call this a church. Yes, we can. This is a church. Not based under the terminology of the Greeks, but in modern English, this building is a church building. It's not wrong to say that. I know we don't, and I don't go around saying it myself. The church meets in this building. The church defined spiritually is the body of the believer. So we know that. But folks, we meet in a church building. It's okay to say that, really. We don't, and I'm not saying we all go around and start saying that. But we need to show We need to have a regard for its appearance. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." And what do we do today? We met to meet with Christ. We met to claim this promise. So the church has met. The believers have met. A portion of them from around the world have met right here with the express purpose that Jesus said, "I'm going to be with you." Maybe it would do us good as people if once in a while Jesus would come by in person. Did you know it might up our respect? Because sometimes what we cannot see, we have a little trouble respecting. That's the reason God wants to give us His Holy Spirit. He wants to live and be dynamic in us. I'm thinking right now about our deportment and our conduct and our desire to be respectful to Christ were He here in person. Well, He is, because He said He was. And He is here. And He's in this building. He's in the heart of the believer. He is directing. He is leading. Let's give great respect to that. If Christ was here in this place, we would wait for a cue from Him before we did some things. Let's wait for a cue from the Lord in our heart and have great respect for that. We need then publicly to respect the purpose that we're here for, to regard it highly, to esteem it, and stand in awe that such a God would agree to meet with us. Hence, some thoughts now, considering those words we've said. In the time frame of the average American, a week is a busy place. A lot goes on. A lot of words are said. A lot of different interactions take place. Jesus, or Paul, wrote to us in Ephesians, redeeming the time. I'm thinking about respecting the worship time of the Lord now. We need to, let's say it this way. We've asked the Lord to come be with us. Does the Lord get here 15 minutes after everybody else does? Something to think about. Does the Lord get here 30 minutes after everybody else does? Or do you think maybe the Lord's here on time? And if He's on time, I believe He would probably be leading the service with His Spirit on time. Please don't be offended, but consider it. What kind of statement is it making to God in a respectful way? When I say the first 15, 20 minutes, we'll miss that. But someone asked me, "Are you in service?" "Oh, yeah, I was there yesterday." Something to think about. Tardiness is a distraction. God help us to have a respect for others. Please accept this out of thoughts from God. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time percentage-wise. A couple of hours on Sunday morning, an hour and a half Sunday night, an hour and a half, 2 hours of Sunday, Wednesday evening. Percentage-wise, that's not much. Consider taking advantage of that. Subject that preachers don't like to speak on much is offerings. But the Lord's given me some burdens on it, and you may be hearing some more about it. Because offerings are necessary. And offerings are a means of worship to God. Now, I don't mean the preacher's offering per se. Offerings to God. They are a means of worship to God. Over in Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter, and the first verse, we're not going to stay a long time on these, but we're going to mention them because respect to what God said and respect for what God accepts and wants And respect for our time in worship here is critical. If we don't have it, we're going to forfeit whatever we don't respect, the blessings that would come from it. Considering offerings to the Lord, and I know there's more than one place to put an offering than the boxes here. I'm aware of that, okay? There's needs everywhere. I think the point of offerings is that we divest ourselves. But the Bible speaks of first fruits. And I think we need to have, as Christians, our respect to the first fruit. The people who gave out of their abundance, and the Lord said they had it to spare. But the lady who gave her all in her first fruit got her attention, got his attention. 26th chapter, he speaks in Deuteronomy, and it shall be when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord giveth thee for an inheritance and to possess it and dwelleth therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, and you'll put it in the basket, and you'll bring it to the Lord, to the place that he's chosen, he said. And you shall go into the priest, that third verse, and say, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto our father for to give to us. I bring this in respect to the land the Lord has given us. A land that flows with milk and honey, he speaks about. A land that we didn't deserve and a land that we did not create. And we were Syrians, he said in the fifth verse. And we were down in Egypt and we sojourned there. Folks, we were destitute without God. And we sojourned there. And the Egyptians were evil to us and they treated us bad. And we were slaves in bondage. Then the seventh verse, I'm bringing this offering to you, Lord, because of the good land I have, the prosperity that I enjoy, the benefits of salvation. All this your hands have provided for me, Lord. It's yours to begin with. What do you have that you have not received, Paul wrote. And when seventh verse, and when we cried unto the Lord, God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with outstretched arms and with great terribleness and with signs and wonders. And he hath brought us into this place and hath given us this land, even as a land, even a land that floweth with milk and with honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruit of all the land which Thou, O Lord, hast given to me, and I've set it before the Lord, and worship before the Lord, thy God. Thou shalt rejoice. They brought and were instructed to bring their offerings as a means of setting before the Lord thanksgiving for the land, thanksgiving for deliverance, thanksgiving for the milk and for the honey, thanksgiving. And it was a means of worship unto the Lord. The next time you make an offering, consider it worship. Not an obligation. Consider it worship. And how much are we willing to give God of our first fruit? Instead of enjoying the first fruit for ourselves. I speak generally now. And then, what's left over and remains is the Lord's. They worship the Lord with their first fruit. How has the Lord prospered us? Return to Him in kind the best we can. Just think about that. Offerings. How much does the work of God suffer for lack of first fruit? I don't point any fingers. Think about it and consider it. Have I today a first fruit that I kept that God could have taken that and prospered somewhere else. But in my hands, it didn't prosper. Think about it. Consider that. Over in Exodus, the 28th verse, the 42nd and the 43rd verse, as men and women, as men at that time, went to do service and honor to God, one thing was required of them: cover their nakedness. God did not want in His service the flesh to be on display. 1 Corinthians 1 and 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Historically, the pagan and the heathen's worship was an indecent thing. Not just mildly indecent, but the most terrible of indecencies. Nudity, from their own worst. There was a glory to the flesh and a worship of sensual worship of the flesh in paganism, heathenism. And the Lord instructed, there you can read it in Exodus 28:42, for His priest who came before Him to make sure their flesh was covered. And folks, they were ministering many times just among men. But it was important to God. Out of respect for me, Lord help us, as we worship God, that we consider our deportment of our body, the deportment and conduct of our dress, the message it sends, holiness unto the Lord, or look at me and how I'm attired. Lord, help us, especially those who would offer service to God. To some degree, you're saying, I am saying, follow me as I follow Christ. So how we dress, how revealing it is or not, the tightness of something makes a difference to God. And if we really are going to worship God in a respectful way, we don't want to come before Him revealing, showing that which should be covered. Something to think about, isn't it? We live in a world today that sensuality is paramount. Undergarments become outer garments. That's not right, folks. And people claim to worship God showing things that should be covered. That's not respectful. That's not decent. And that's saying, look at me. I'm not trying to portray God. Look at me. I want to read over in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Bear with me, I'm racing that old hand up there, in case you don't know it. 1 Corinthians 14. I spoke a little of this earlier, maybe. Follow after charity and desires, first verse, and spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy, may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. That he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I'm thinking about, we assembled here today, not, as I said a little earlier, not for our cause, but for God's cause. And we do harm to the cause in respect of God if we allow this setting to be my soapbox or your soapbox. Then we begin to speak in an unknown tongue. I'm saying this figuratively now. We begin to speak to our own edification. And Paul clearly teaches here that our prophesying, that our exhortation is to be for the edification of the congregation, those in attendance. So may the Lord help us today there also to be for comfort. Paul said, speaking the truth in love. So we want to be very careful that we don't let our cause supplant God's cause and speak from our own cause instead of God's cause. And what that does, it takes away from God's cause, and it is a distraction to the purpose for which we assemble. And it does not accomplish anything except resentment. And it distances us from one another at times. And it will distance God from us in the sense that it's not respectful. And God can't honor that. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. It's kind of like the man that does his alms before others to be seen of them. Say, man, that's your reward. But this fellow over here doing it in secret for God and respect and honor to God, God's going to reward him openly. Something to think about. I had a conversation with a minister just recently. And they were relating to me how the Lord taught them something on this. And basically what they were saying, they had been somewhat guilty of promoting what they thought was God's cause, but in reality, it was their cause. And they were shown by God how it was totally unprofitable. It didn't accomplish a thing. Even though what they were saying was categorically correct. Something to think about here. We meet together out of respect for God and each other for the edification of the church and the comfort of the church. The Lord said that we were free and we had liberty where the Spirit is. Then Paul said, Galatians 5 and 13, that we're not to let our liberty be an occasion to the flesh. See, we don't have creeds and rules when to speak and when not to speak. And what song to call, and when to testify and when not to testify. Oh, I realize we get a little order going, but we have the liberty to break that order anytime God leads us. You ever been in a preaching service and someone said, brother, we got to sing a song? We do that. We have that liberty. But if I take that liberty and use it for my own good or my own cause, that's fleshly. And it's distracting and it takes away from God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and 40, 1 Corinthians 14 and 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. And this word, order here, can also be translated with dignity. Went to a church service, quote unquote church service, one time years ago down in Lake Charles, Louisiana. One of them Holy Ghost messages, you know. All the preacher, he went on for a while. Then he started calling them up there. He'd go up to them and he'd say something to them. And he'd put his hand in their head and boy, they'd go whop out. You know. Well, they had it all programmed. I know that. They had people there with sheets that they'd fall back in those sheets and catch them. And then they'd have to lay the clothes over the women or a sheet over the women and all that. Kind of a strange event. Guy invited me to come up and get part of the power, and I said, no, I got all the power I need. But I just was driving down the road and there was a tent meeting, and I stopped. All things done decently, with dignity. With dignity. With honor. Honor to who? Honor to God. Honoring God with our songs and our praise and our testimony, with the preaching, with all that we say and do, respectful, our offerings, how we conduct ourselves, what we wear, with dignity, with honor, with a respect to the, I'm going into the presence of the Almighty God. I know I'm going there because He said where two or three are gathered, He was right there. So we need that respect and dignity of why we're here. Not abridging our liberty, but using our liberty to the glory of God, the honor of the Holy One. This word means, in order, can also mean to elevate. This is what we want to do when we worship together, is elevate the name of Jesus. Elevate the cause of Christ. Elevate God the Father. Elevate. See, this word order can mean dignity, true honor, and elevation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now unto the King immortal, in 1 Timothy 1 and 17. Now unto the King immortal, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Remember this little word, because it's a big word. It's a powerful word, and it affects every one of us. Respect. Pray for me.